Hachette Audio presents Memoirs of a Dragon Hunter. Written by Katie McAllister. Read by Hilary Huber. Prologue. Ah, Ian, there you are. I was wondering if I should tackle that demon myself, but now you're here. Ian Iskandar studied the man seated on a tall metal stool behind a bunch of expensive medical equipment. Do we have to have this argument again? We wouldn't have to if you'd simply see reason and stop denying who you are. Ian shook his head. I came because you said you needed my help. I assumed it was for your research. If you need someone to tackle a demon, you'll have to ask your daughter for aid. You were the best dragon hunter in North America for centuries. I was the only dragon hunter in North America for centuries, he countered, and shook his head a second time. No, I'm not discussing this. I made my decision, and I'm standing by it. If you don't need me for your research... Oh, but I do. Adam bustled over to a table and picked up a battered leather notebook. It's because of my research that I called you. My esprit is gone. I'm positive a demon has her. Ignoring the stirring of his own demon self, Ian glanced toward the wall, where a sword in a leather scabbard hung from a hook that never failed to come alive at the most inopportune moment. How did a demon get the esprit out of your sword? Adam Larson looked chagrined. Well, as to that, she might have wanted a little time off, and since I knew I'd be working here, I told her she could go to the zoo. But a demon must have gotten her, or she'd be back by now. No, Ian said simply, and turned to the door, intending to walk out of the room. He'd go back to his bleak, colorless life, his soul as cold as an Arctic night. This is important, Ian, Adam called after him. I'm close, very close, but I need my esprit returned. I'm vulnerable without her. Please, I need you. Ian debated the wisdom of standing there, of considering Adam's request. Pain lashed him, but he drove the memories down, deciding quickly. He would do this one thing. He would find the esprit and then return to the gray misery of his life. Surely no one could be harmed in the act of locating one small spirit. Since you are my mother's favorite cousin, I will find your esprit. Do you know for certain that a demon has her? No, although there's one who's been skulking around. Its name is Dorito. No, that's not right. Shvarma? Whatever its name, I want my esprit back. Now, please, hurry. Helen will... The fine hairs on the back of Ian's neck stood on end just a fraction of a second before the air behind him swirled. He turned to confront whoever entered, but a flash of blinding light sent him flying backward, slamming him against the wall with enough force to make him see red and yellow splotches. Sound was dulled, with only the wild beat of his heart audible until he managed to regain awareness, and with that came the roar of dragon fire from deep within him. He leaped to his feet, intending on attacking, but stopped immediately when he saw a small girl of about 8 years old, her skin the color of polished ebony, her big eyes turning to him in obvious supplication. That gaze pierced Ian like nothing had in all the long years of his life. He started to move forward, pausing when a woman sidled through the doorway, a long black sword held easily in her hand.
The spirit says you are close to making dragon hunters stronger, the woman said, addressing Adam with a voice as rough as sandpaper on gravel.
She was a demon, of that Ian had no doubt.
I can't have that. In fact, the less of you there are, the happier I'll be. And since Anzo loves finding slaves, I'll simply solve the problem of what to do with you by letting her have you.
To Ian's horror, the demon reached out and tore open the fabric of space, leaving a gaping, inky rent in the air itself.
Come along.